Hello and welcome to the Cruel Summer Podcast. My name is James.
And I'm Marco Sparks.
How you doing, Marco?
Doing good.
Welcome back.
Welcome everyone as we sit down to finally talk about HBO's The Idol.
No.
Just kidding.
Gross. Yeah, so obviously we're like, I don't know, 7 weeks late on this. I think the 8th episode airs tomorrow or something. We'll catch up in our own sweet time.
Yeah. I don't feel like anybody's really rushing out to beat us to this one.
Maybe someone took our corner. I don't know. Marco was out of the country earlier in the month. That's why we're a little late. And also because we watched the pilot or the first episode, and we were like, we'll get to it when we get to it.
Yeah, to be fair, we watched the pilot like a month ago, and it was not great.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll do our thing. We'll try to give the show a fair shake.
For some reason, if you are listening to this podcast but not watching the show, or you're just perplexed or whatever the fuck, nobody is back from season one.
Their names are in the credits. That's about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an anthology show now. I mean, technically, Tia Napolitano is credited as a co-writer with Ellie Treadman, the new showrunner on this episode.
That to me says that like she had some sort of pitch with which this episode is vaguely like, you know, familiar to.
Yeah.
And so she got a co-writing credit. But yeah, it's clear that the Cruel Summer season one cast and crew have nothing to do with this show, except for Bill Purple.
Who had nothing to do with season one, pretty much.
Wasn't he a director on season one?
No. Oh, Bill Purple. Yes. Bill Purple.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. Bill Purple, who directed two episodes of season one, including the finale, I believe.
Yeah. Bill Purple. I started doing this new thing I want to do for like our TV show podcast we do from now on, where I like try to like get like a Nepo score, you know, like who's connected to who and why are they in this? Like Bill Purple is the husband of Michelle Purple, who is Jessica Biel's producing partner.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's a connection.
Well, I mean, I felt like season one looked better than this episode does. There's like two shots that I thought looked interesting just in how they use space. But the real, like, we're filming during summer, but we're calling part of it winter.
Yeah.
This episode mostly looks uninspired, bad.
Part of the good idea of season one is that it was three timelines that all took place in the summertime in Texas where they shot. And so you're like, it looks pretty much what we'd expect. You know, it's not like, oh, no, this is Puget Sound in the winter, but it's clearly super bright and sunny outside.
Well, it's like, do you guys even know what Forks looks like in the winter?
I'm going to have a lot of comments about the location. Yeah.
So just running through the cast, I didn't look up what everyone's done, but Sadie Stanley is Megan Landry, who is pretty much our sole lead.
Well, no, here's the thing. Like we have only watched the first episode of season two. And if you'll recall in season one, Olivia Holt's character did not get a ton of focus, and it wasn't until episode two where it like flipped around and we got like her perspective. So I've
heard this wrong. Could have heard this wrong, but I've gotten the impression from people who watched this that is not exactly the case.
I guess I'm expecting Isabella to get more fleshed out in the second episode. We will see, but we don't know. We haven't watched ahead or anything.
So Lexi Underwood is Isabella LaRue.
Isabella
LaRue. Mm-hmm. Griffin Gluck is Luke Chambers,
Nepo baby,
who is a black hole of charisma.
Well, he was what inspired my, wait a minute, is this a cast full of Nepo babies thing? And sure enough, he's got like producer parents. The other two seem to be like organic, like didn't grow up in LA, like moved there and got, you know, auditions and whatnot, like actual, you know, they work for it.
Sadie Stanley has a face that says that she's either been on this Disney Channel or like the Nick Channel, or
she was like the live action Kim Possible or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Katie Strickland, who plays, I think, Debbie, the mom of Megan, been in a bunch of things. There's a 90s connection here. She's married to Jason Bear from Roswell.
Cool.
Paul Adelstein, who was married to Paris Geller from Gilmore Girls for a while. He plays the dad, who is, I'm just going to go out and say it, probably the killer.
I have a theory on that, but we'll see. But man, I gotta be honest, every time that guy shows up on screen, I think I like black out. I'm so bored. Like I tried to pay attention on my second watch through, like, all right, let me pay close attention. I'm like, no, this guy's just so fucking boring. Like everything about this dumb real estate plotline, I do not care.
To be fair, though, I feel like as a guy who's like been in a bunch of TV, and he's like he's in the menu. He's like the publisher of the critic in the menu. But like he's like, let me try to do actor stuff. Or some of these actors are not trying to do actor stuff at all. So yes, episode takes place in part in summer of 99, specifically July 16th, winter of 99, December 15th, and summer 2000, July 16th, 2000.
Which immediately I was like, huh, I don't know. It's called year and cool a half. Summer, you know, not cruel winter.
Well, year and a half just doesn't seem like enough time.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious that they've done this because this is supposed to take place over a year, really. Of like senior year of high school type thing, you know, so they can't stretch it out as long because of that. But I was immediately kind of like thrown by that. I was like, oh, okay, I guess.
So the summer 99 stuff all takes place pretty much in one day. The other two time periods clearly happen over a couple of days. Is this even filmed in the Pacific Northwest? This is like South Carolina or something.
No,
right?
It's British Columbia. Is it okay? Somewhere in Canada. Yeah. But like, I would love to know prior, like this is supposed to be either like Puget Sound or like somewhere on the Washington coast, but it's like, have any of the people making the show actually been there? Because this looks nothing like it at all.
Yeah.
It's like sunny constantly, you know, like there's like not a hint of fog or weather or anything.
It actually makes PLL look more like Pennsylvania.
Yeah, really.
So we start off, I mean, like, I feel like the season one had some decent needle drops. This one starts off with Litz, My Own Worst Enemy.
Oof. I mean, I guess it's 1999, you know, that was a dark time in alt rock. But
yeah,
I guess it fits, but it doesn't. I don't know. It's no Fade Into You.
I was just say
not quite the same power.
If you really follow like the musical trends from the end of the 90s, starting to the 2000s, the music on this show is going to get fucking terrible.
I'm going to get the Spice Girls later. Yeah, it's.
But I mean, like, are we going to get like a Limp Bizkit needle drop at some point?
Oh, just like full rap rock. Yeah.
Yeah, just or like new metal. Just shit. Mm-hmm. Just some Linkin Park.
Dark
shit.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Megan, our main character's family, has an Airstream in the backyard. I have not like super in depth, but I have notes you've seen. How do you want to do this? I guess we could have talked about this beforehand, but yeah, fuck it.
Figure it out as we go. Yeah, it also, when we get the first title card, it has like, it's 1999, and it says summer, and the summer is in like a pink, and later when it's winter, it'll be blue, and then when it's summer again for 2000, it'll be green, and it's like, yes, that is definitely the color palette we're going for. We're doing the same, like, even more extreme, like, color filtering of the different timelines, which, how did you feel about that? Because I know it's Cruel Summer, and it's like, this is their thing, I guess, but like, it felt a little too like been there or done that.
In this show, it looked gross.
Yeah,
like in this season.
Yeah,
the green in the 2000 just looks fucking comical.
It just
looks like
a little too much. Like, oh, it's popular blonde at the beginning, edgy goth girl at the end. Like, I feel like we've done this before.
I'm waiting for a thing where they're just like, it's so weird how in May of 2000 a green goo volcano explode into the atmosphere and everything looks like this.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a fucking, like, bathed in garbage pail kids colors. Yeah. So the mom, Debbie, wants to take her daughter's traveling, but she's a single mom. She's poor as shit. The mom is a fucking enigma.
Yeah. I said, when the parents show up on screen, I black out. I'm so bored.
But the details of the mom are all contradictory. But
this scene is just a lot of exposition to introduce us to our main character.
Yeah, so the Airstream,
the actor, who's this Megan? Yeah,
was Megan's girl cave. They're getting an exchange student. They're going to let her stay.
Her lab.
Yeah.
At one point, yeah, this is her computer Megan's, lab. Megan's a computer girl.
She is.
So we are told.
She is, on paper, the biggest dork, but it's not exactly an execution.
Yeah, I have a lot of notes about Megan, the computer hacker.
How often do you have to go out and get new cables for your 1999 computer?
And like, she should be using zip drives by now. It's 99.
Seriously. But they're getting an exchange student and they're going to let her stay in the Airstream, which is a bizarre leap of logic.
Well, the other leap of logic is that the mother is too poor to travel with her daughter, so she's bringing the world to her daughter by like having this exchange student live with them for a year, who's from all over. We'll find out where.
But most recently, France. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so Megan has a huge chip on her shoulder about it during this time period.
Kind of a bitch. Am I wrong? Megan? Yeah. She's kind of like just incredibly rude for most of this episode in the summer 99 timeline.
She has her moments of being a real bitch, but I will say it's something compared to the Isabella character, who is barely a character. I mean, she is what's her name? Maya Saint Germain, but like, if you hadn't seen PLL in like 10 years and tried to sketch that character from memory.
I think that Isabella is supposed to come off as this kind of like impossibly cool, like older, you know, like young for her age type of, you know, like very worldly, has like been all over. And
what's her name from Dawson's Creek?
Sure. Yeah.
No.
But like, yeah, I don't know that they've really like given her enough to play that.
Yeah. She's not Veronica. Mm-hmm. Veronica Lodge. Yeah. So the mom wants Megan to become friends with this girl because she needs female friendship. But Megan's like, what about my buddy Luke, who sucks? Megan's about to start her senior year, and she's the kind of girl, in all her weird details, that she's counted down the days to college, which is 412.
She wants to go to University of Washington. We find out later, too.
That's her pretty limited dream. Yeah. Then it's winter. It's dark and bleak visually in this time period. Megan is chilling on the couch watching the music video countdown of the 90s, including the Spice Girls. So it's not really a music video countdown. It's like a DJ concert footage with the Spice Girls playing over it.
I wasn't sure if that was the actual music video or not. But yeah, we know it's the wintertime because everything is really blue.
Yeah.
Like not just a little bit, really blue. I think they say Spice Girls are like 91 in this countdown. I don't know. Like for the year, maybe, not for the decade.
I mean, but this song specifically, or this Spice Girls?
Would have been like a couple years earlier.
Okay, then.
The Spice Up Your Life song. Like that was like the Spice Girls really hit in like 97, I want to say. You know, like.
But like Wannabe would be way higher.
Yeah.
On any theory, list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Isabella comes running in. She's got a giant envelope that's going to be Megan's college acceptance. She's getting into UW. She's getting this computer nerd scholarship. Megan's thrilled, and
they're super friendly, and it's like they're so happy together, so it's like, oh look, I guess they did become friends.
Yeah, she's like thankful that Isabel's there, and that this is like her being here is the best thing that ever happened to her and made this happen. I feel like maybe a huge misstep to introduce Isabella. Yeah, here
I was just gonna say that it's weird that we don't meet her in the first timeline first. We meet her in the second timeline and then like go back. I don't know, it's sort of odd.
What's like,
because the big thing is you wanted, like, you haven't yet, you've seen that Megan isn't thrilled that she's going to have this like new like person hanging around, but we haven't actually seen them meet yet. And to be like, oh yeah, Megan hates her, you know, like Megan's like being a total bitch about it, because then you would see this and be like, ooh, look, something changed.
You can see what the writer's going for, but like they're trying to keep it economical and keep it moving, and they're like, oh, we gotta cut corners here and do this. But it's like, go back and watch the first 10 minutes of like the first episode of season one. And it's like,
it's my birthday.
Yeah. This just works better in another way. Yeah. They turn up the music and they kind of just bounce and gyrate to Spice Up Your Life, because that's how girls dance in 99. Mm-hmm. This seems like a terrible introduction to the character, but whatever. So then we go to summer 99, where Megan is dressed like summer 2000. She's dressed like the little sister of Trinity from The Matrix.
She's got the eyebrow piercing and some sort of, it's not exactly a dog collar, but it's like some sort of metal choker. And
later she'll have a pearl necklace in this time period.
Yeah, it's just got the slick back hair. I just don't buy her as like having gone like full girl with a dragon tattoo. I don't know.
Tons of eyeshadow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little early.
Working in a dark room with like the light coming in through the windows, you know. It's a little try hard. She's writing like a virus or something.
Well, we go from Lit to Spice Girls to Mercy by KMFDM, which the guy sounds like Discount Trent Reznor. The first line we hear of the song is, I went through hell. If you don't know, unofficially, the KMFDM stands for unofficially Kill Motherfucking Depeche Mode. All right. I guess this is who you get when you can't afford another song. Like, you couldn't afford Dead Souls by Nine Inch Nails or whatever. Yeah. So outside, Megan hears something and sees the sheriff pulling up, and he's going to want to ask her some questions. So she sneaks out the room, and it's like, boom, title card.
She goes out the window. Yeah.
Sorry, the window. Not the most thrilling.
No. There is like a close up, like insert shot of her keys, which have one of those little like foam, like floaty things on them. It's to keep them from like sinking if they were in your pocket and you were swimming and they fell out, you know. Like people with boats have those, so I'm sure that will come up later in some way, because they really wanted us to see that keychain. But yeah, she goes out the window. She's got like the big baggy jeans on and like the studded leather belt and all that, you know. It's a whole look.
Yeah. So back to Summer 99, we get Every Morning by Sugar Ray.
Sure.
Yeah, why not? Megan is hanging out.
That also feels like maybe a year too late, but I mean, they played songs for longer back then.
Yeah. Megan is hanging out at the docks with Luke, her friend, who is super boring.
Just Luke. Immediately, I was just like, what? Wait a minute. What's with this guy? Because he's like, he's supposed to be kind of the cool guy, but he's like definitely kind of short and scrawny.
This is a guy who probably idolizes Xander Harris.
I doubt this guy has ever watched an episode of Buffy.
I don't know.
You mean the character or the actor?
The actor, I don't know. I mean, he's probably too young to even know what Buffy is. But so Megan's the kind of girl who calls her mom Debbie. Luke is the kind of guy who refers himself as the mysterious, fun-loving sidekick. None of those things are true.
No.
Maybe the sidekick part. Megan ponders like just taking the boat and going out in the open seas. And he's like, oh, you'd miss your computer too much. What a nerd.
Yeah, sure, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just like the styling that they have her in the Summer 99. She just doesn't look like somebody who sits in front of a computer all day. You know, it's like she's clearly putting some work in there.
Yeah. So they're going to meet up some other kids who are going on a boat to party on some island, including a kid named Freddy, who accuses Megan of being sober and celibate.
Yeah, she's the boring one. They're like all the cool kids who are going to go like get drunk and fuck, I guess.
They do a lot of overtime in trying to get you to know some of these characters' names, mm-hmm. and it never quite connects.
He mentions they're going to go out to the island. It's a perfect day for snorkeling. And I'm just like, what? Snorkeling? Yeah. Somewhere in either like Puget Sound or like the coast of Washington. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So apparently they all tend to hang out someplace called the Bloom, or they're going to hang out the Bloom later. Winter of 99, it looks like Megan is dating Luke, who's proud of her for getting that scholarship, and he calls her a badass coder.
Definitely something you would say, yes.
Yeah, summer.
Big famous coder.
Yeah, summer, back summer 99. Mom's putting out flowers for Isabel's arrival. Megan has a little sister who looks like an enthusiastic dork, but also kind of a non-character. I think her name is Ellie.
Yeah, Megan like gives her mom shit for like spending a lot on this flower arrangement because she's trying to impress a stranger.
Those like, flowers didn't cost much.
Well, and like, I don't know, like she's just like really, really anti. It's like, as though she just found out this morning that like somebody was coming to stay with them or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, so we're going to find out Megan, the high school girl who's working at like a diner, is mm-hmm. supplementing the family's income in some fashion. So maybe she is sure. pissed off about frivolous spending.
Yeah.
So their Isabel arrives
loser.
In like a floral dress with these like super high heels that look like they're made out of wicker baskets.
This whole look, I was like, well, I guess she's supposed to be from around the world. So you know, like this is definitely not a 99 look.
No.
It was like that was my immediate impression. But I'm like, I guess you can get away with it. She's just supposed to look kind of like international and glamorous or something.
I mean, as bad as it is, I guess the only period-centric look is Megan's in the summer 2000. It's
yeah, I mean, she's just has in 99, she's just got like the like overalls on, like
she looks like
basic.
Any other
she
CW
looks like
girl.
I mean, she could be on Dawson's Creek, I guess.
Yeah, she looks like the CW girl.
Yeah,
like if they just wheeled up the CW girl wardrobe and they're
both these actors,
Katie Holmes may or not have worn this.
Both these actors have faces that have seen iPhones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back to summer 2000, bathed in green light. Megan is coding and hacking away, chasing that right rabbit with Neo.
I mean, she's writing like a virus or something, it seems like.
Then she goes someplace in town at night, like meeting in an empty building that's for rent.
Like she's the girl with a dragon tattoo, like selling her, for like a disc with the virus on it for money or something like that.
This is literally what Neo is doing at the beginning of The Matrix, is selling shit. He's like coded. Yeah, selling something like disc to some dude and like charging double because the sheriff's been asking questions. Which, what the fuck in this small town can you, what virus can you possibly be coding?
Well, she says, who'd you tell? He says, no one, I swear. And she says, well, someone has talked. The sheriff's been asking questions. Like, and it's all very like, my issue with this episode, the big one, is that it's all building up to a reveal at the end. They don't want to tip their hand as exactly what the big thing is going to be. And so everything is very vague leading up to it in the summer 2000 timeline, especially. Right. Because they want us to think, oh, is Isabella dead in this timeline? Is Luke dead?
Like, this has nothing to do to build to that mystery. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
It's not like you coded them to death.
Exactly. Well, like, yeah, what is she selling him? Like, we'll see if it actually pans into that and connects, but it seems kind of like fake, like a misdirect.
So, summer 99, Isabella is hanging on the porch of Megan, Debbie, and the sister. So we find out Isabella was born in New York. Her parents are diplomats. They've lived everywhere all over the world. So she starts bringing out gifts. She's brought Debbie a vase. The sister is named Ellie. She got a necklace from Isabella. Megan's gift is a book called Grave Questions.
Which, like, present. Like, a fancy, all of these fancy vase gifts and, like, a charm bracelet or necklace or whatever. And they're like, oh, here's a fucking book, you loser.
Well, no, I would argue all of these are things you could have bought at an airport.
Sure.
Like you landed and you're like, fuck.
I mean, maybe if Isabella had, like, I don't know, like a fake, like, mid-Atlantic accent or something, it would play a little better. Because, like, she just seems like, just like another teenager. Like, there's nothing about her that really screams like otherworldly, you know, like, oh, she's like so cool and mature for her age. What, you know what I mean? Like, there's just not much there.
I would have walked in on day one of this concept in that writer's room and been like, here's the deal. She's going to talk weird. She's going to call everyone darling.
Yeah.
And then episode three, she accidentally drops the accent and we start getting real.
Well, then it would make sense why, Megan, God, these names are so forgettable too. It makes sense why Megan would like dislike her at first, as she was just like this kind of ridiculous caricature of like a, you know, high society, like pretending to be like Gossip Girl type thing or something like that. Yeah. You could see like, oh, that'd probably be annoying, but she just kind of seems like an extrovert, but an otherwise normal girl, you know?
No, she's not even that extroverted.
Yeah.
But yeah, Megan's super standoffish. Oh, the book is because Isabella heard that Megan likes mysteries. Mm. Sure. Later, she's like washing her car, listening to Isabella talking to the family in the porch or whatever, decides to sneak into the Airstream and starts going through Isabella's stuff. I forgot to look back in scene one if the poster that's on the wall here is an Isabella poster or was there before. Because I thought it'd be pretty funny if she's already hung a fucking poster, but whatever.
So she's like, what is the motivation for snooping around?
She's like nosy.
It's just like to normal, kind of be a bitch. Like
normal. This is normal nosy people stuff.
This is like, I don't know. I feel like this is pretty rude to just go like it's like there's no motivation other than just like, I don't like you, so I'm gonna go through your shit. Like, it's bizarre.
This is the least.
This makes me like
these are the things I have problems with.
Yeah, the poster's already there, by the way, in the opening scene.
Okay, but I mean, because at least Megan's doing something as opposed to just like pouting with a chip on her shoulder. But yeah, so she's like, but like,
there could
perfume.
Have been a weird line that Isabella has. It like sounds like fake, or like she's lying, or something's off, you know, like something to motivate. Oh, I'm just going to go snoop through this person's shit.
I think what we've seen, it's like a subtle theme you can track through the like last few years, at least of our podcast, is that TV's not as good as it could be.
No.
Not everywhere. We've really passed that golden age of TV, and I don't know, maybe that's reflected in world events at the moment. But yeah, so she finds also like a floppy disk that says summer 98 on it. She goes through Isabella's passport. There's all these stamps because she's a world traveler.
What would be on a floppy disk that says summer 98?
One photo.
I feel like a floppy disk, it would just be like, you know, like homework or something, you know, or like files or...
I remember those discs. I remember using those discs during this time period. You could put, depending on the size, 20 Word documents or 10 photos.
Very small photos, yeah.
If you use four of them, you could maybe put a whole song. So Isabella walks in, catches her going through her shit.
Born Megan February 11th, 1982.
Yeah, she has no good answer, so she just rushes out of there.
Well, she's we see her passport. It's a U.S. passport. It's completely filled up. Like, there's stamps everywhere. So it's like, okay, world traveled. Got it.
Yeah. But like, Isabella has this look on her face, like, insert possible concern that Megan found something of hers.
Sure. Yeah.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of just like insert possible vague emotion that we can play upon later into this episode. Cut to winter of 99. Megan's trying on one of Isabella's dresses to wear at the fancy party at Luke's house.
In this
scene,
why
doesn't Megan move into the Airstream and let Isabella have the room?
I guess she has her, I don't know if we see her room, but she does have her own room. And this is just,
yeah, we see her room because she's hacking away in there.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure, sure. In this scene, Isabella has added a poster next to her bed of like some hunky shirtless dude. So she's, you know, given it her own flair at least a little bit here. In the winter.
Yeah, 6 months later, she's moving. So yeah, she needs a dress to wear to Luke's fancy party at his house, or the dad's fancy party. The dad, who in my notes, I always capitalize his name, all whole name, because it's Steve.
Just like, that guy goes in one ear and out the other with me. I'm so bored by him.
Who?
So bored. Yeah. I guess Isabella just has like a shit ton of clothes. And so Megan's borrowing this like red dress. And
Megan seemingly borrows her clothes all the time, we find out. They keep joking that Megan was too much of a square beforehand, and thankfully Isabella's come along to corrupt her. There's a lot of comments of characters talking about how corrupting Megan,
and of just like, I've always been too scared and practical, you know, and a rule follower, but like, you've done so much for me, I'm so happy you came along, you know, pressure's now I want to do something with you,
something I've always wanted to do, and I want to do it with you. And Isabella's like, what? And she's like, scissor. Yeah. So summer 99, little sister Ellie wants.
Can I just say in summer 2000?
Sorry. Yeah. There's,
yeah. We gotta clean that up. Summer 2000. They do the whistling tea kettle, like the tension, you know, like, uh-oh, what's going on? And it's just like, I feel like we need a rule now that's like, you're not allowed to do this unless you've got like a really great take on it. Like, this is just like the most like hackneyed, cliched, like kind of thing. Maybe ever now.
Yeah, so the little sister Ellie wants $10 to go to the movies, but from Megan. Meanwhile, the mom is on the couch being miserable and tells Megan just to give her sister the money to have some fun.
Because so Megan says it's bad enough that they canceled the Ocean Bloom, which I thought was weird because we learn later that the Ocean Bloom is this like natural phenomenon where like jellyfish.
They canceled the festival.
But I know, but like it's. He's like, you can't cancel the Ocean Bloom. Like, it's just a natural phenomenon that occurs.
They mean the festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a giant banner for it that we see later. Yeah. Presumably because Steve, who runs this town, he's the Brad, what's his name, from Roadhouse of this town?
Brad Wesley,
yeah. But yeah, so Megan gives her the
money. Well, he runs a town, but I think we find out later that maybe he doesn't. Like, he's made a lot of bad investments or something, and he's a little desperate. Sure, that'll come up.
I have a lot of questions about that scene. But yeah, so Megan gives her the money, but under the caveat that she has to change her shirt because she, quote unquote, looks like a slut. But she really doesn't. It's a boring teenage girl top with like crisscrossing red lines over where her boobs would be. Like, it's pretty
boring.
She calls
her sister a biatch, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, Ellie does.
Ellie does, yeah.
And then like Ellie's like, I would rather look like a slut than have everyone think that I'm a freak. So she like storms upstairs. The mom points out that, or Megan points out to the mom that she's protecting her sister because if she gets a reputation now, she'll never shake it. The mom is apparently on a ton of pills.
Mom is just kind of sitting on the couch, like, well, that was kind of harsh. Whatever. Thanks for paying for everything.
Yeah. Like the hacker daughter has to be the one to like fill in the little pill scheduler plastic thing. What I don't get though is that we'll find out later, the mom is apparently still with Steve.
Maybe.
She's with him at the end.
I mean, she's near him, but he kind of pushes her away. So, yeah.
Dead child. So maybe, yeah. So, back in summer 99. Yeah, my notes are just in shambles. Sorry, everyone. Megan and her mom are talking, and Megan says that Isabella was born cool. So she has her list of errands that she has to run to get away from the house.
Get some new cables for my computer.
Her 1999 computer.
What cables? I would like to know what cables. Are you like a SCSI cable or something? Like, what are you doing?
What was that big fat guy that you plugged in? That you had to like screw the two screws on the side of it.
Yeah, that's a SCSI.
So the mom suggests taking Isabella with her because she's already told Isabella that she's going to go with her. So Isabella's into it.
She's changed into another very bright top and like jean shorts. And it just it's like she's just too bright and colorful for
Megan's
God, I can't remember these characters for Megan's world, even though Megan's wearing pink. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Like all hackers do internationally. But yeah,
Megan, Luke and Isabella. I mean, Isabella at least is somewhat memorable, but Megan and Luke are just like, God, they're boring names.
Yeah. Well, they're boring characters.
Luke Chambers.
I don't know. If you're like the boring ass scion of like a boring ass real estate magnate, like in this town, I don't know. Maybe that's the perfect name.
So
Isabella will not for like 30 more minutes will not once bring up the fact that she caught this chick like going through her underwear or whatever.
So there's like a wide shot here where they're driving on the coast and it's like, oh wait, you actually filmed on location for at least like one day because this actually looks like the Pacific Northwest. It's foggy in the background, you know? Like, what happened? Did you film this like in a pickup or something?
No. There's like three shots where there's like real background.
It looks like they could actually be in Forks. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're driving. Isabella says that she never really spent any real time in the U.S. So she picked this town because Megan's mom, Debbie, wrote a really lovely letter. She wants to be part of a small town in its community. This is just not a teenage girl perspective whatsoever. Yeah,
like what? Like, I've never really been anywhere in the U.S., so I definitely want to go to some small town in the middle of nowhere. Okay.
Yeah. This is one of those stories where reputation lingers everywhere. And Megan says if you do something stupid in fourth grade, everyone will remind you for the rest of your life, which we're not going to really see any examples of that here.
I mean, in theory, if you were this globetrotting daughter of diplomats, you'd just want to go to, like, New York or something. Like, the idea of going to a small town would probably just be like, oh, my God, hell no.
Yeah. You would have no concept of that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Winter of 99, Megan and Isabella have hiked to the top of a cliff and are going to strip down to their underwear and jump off into the water. This, again, does not look like where they are. We're throwing around the term ride or die quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't know if we really said ride or die back then. This was like what they were going to do that like, oh, I want to do this thing with you that I won't say what it is. So we'll find out in the next, you know, part of the timeline. And here we are. And it's like, oh, they're just like jumping in. I think this is the Sound. I don't think it's a lake. I think this must be like Puget Sound. So
it's confusing at times based on where I think we're supposed to be, where there's like water behind characters that's clearly like a lake or like an inlet. And then there's times when it's like actually the ocean. But there's easier ways to show somebody that you're their ride or die and not doing like Ethan Hunt shit.
So I just don't know how they get back up. That's what I was thinking the entire time I was watching the scene. Like, how are they gonna get back up there? Is there a like a little like path you can climb up or something later? Because that's like sands 25 closed. Feet at least.
Yeah, sands close too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So jump in the water. After commercial, it's summer 2000. The toxic sludge volcanoes exploded like big time. We're outdoors. Megan's walking along the water, watching cop cars driving up ahead, their lights on.
Well, what are these cop cars doing? They've come to her house and they're driving through town with sirens on. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
all I can think is like, okay, what could you have possibly hacked back then? Banking stuff, traffic lights, you know, so that would get multiple cop cars racing around time. But yeah, so she stops at this billboard and there's like a missing person poster. The picture's torn off. She stares at it.
So we, the audience, will wonder, oh, is it Luke? Is it Isabella? You know,
like, I think you're supposed to think it's Isabella.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we never see her. Yeah.
Yeah. So some other chick who's in the background of the teen stuff walks up and she's just like, none of this would have ever happened if she hadn't come to town. And Megan's like, I think about that all the time.
And they just both stare at each other and then she walks off. Yeah.
This is supposed to be like the apocalyptic future. There's like the police sirens, there's missing persons, everyone's dressed like a hacker. But this is where the hacker couture also includes a pearl necklace. So back in summer 99, Megan and Isabella go to
I don't think it's a pearl necklace because it's like metal. I mean, it's like metal pearls, I guess. Yeah.
Metal pearl necklace. Cool. That's edgy. Why not just like a spike dog collar?
You would think maybe that was like too much. They're like, whoa, 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 tone it down just a little
bit. Why not just give her like a faux hawk while you're at it? just buzz her head. But yeah, so they go into this like diner slash bar where there's some lame ass creep working behind the bar. It's like every show needs one of these guys now. Mm-hmm. And we had him
Shifts to some other chick who flirts with him.
Oh. Well, so it starts off so charged and so silly because like he's making a Manhattan and Isabella's like recognizes. She's like, oh, my dad drinks those. I like to steal the cherries after they soaked up some whiskey. This guy's like, really?
That to me, like that feels like it's playing a little too young for what this character is seemingly supposed to be. You know, like I feel like she's drinking Manhattan. So she's not like stealing cherries, you know?
Well, it's like, is she reading this guy and being like, what this pervert wants to flirt with is like a little girl, or like me pretend like I'm an older woman, you know, like what,
mm-hmm. like,
but we have no sense of her as an astute player and reader of the hearts of men.
Like if the line was like, oh, making Manhattan, I prefer mine with gin or something like that. You'd be like, ooh, look at her, you know? But yeah, instead it's just like, I steal the cherries out of my daddy's, you know, glass. And they have some whiskey in them. Teehee. It's like, okay. It's not exactly the same.
Yeah. That's ludicrous. Anyway, Megan works here. She's here to get her paycheck.
We never see her working here, but we're told she works here.
I wonder if we'll ever see her working here.
Really? She needs like, the money to pay for her college applications.
Even and her cables.
She wants to go to the University of Washington. I mean, I don't know. How many other places is she applying to?
Seemingly zero. Mm-hmm. So Kim's going to take her weekend shift. She'll take Kim's Monday and Tuesday shifts, which means she'll get half the money. And Kim gets better shift because she flirts with him. And he's like, oh, it's not my fault. She finds me irresistible. And they're just like, there's like a checklist. Where it's like, we need the pervy dude who like swerves on teen girls. Check. Is this guy ever going to come back? Whatever.
Presumably, yes. I mean, otherwise, why? Why bother? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. A lot of these characters just have no pilot presence. Like the sheriff, I think, is in the promo cast pictures. But
The sheriff has my favorite line delivery of the episode.
Yeah. Oh, I want us to act out the one scene. Because
can I give you a preview?
Sure.
This storm will slow them down. Looks pretty bad.
Yeah. So the two girls leave. Megan's telling Isabella, I have a lot of problems with this scene. Telling Isabella that she wants to go to University of Washington, full ride scholarship for the computer science majors, as well as impressed. This dialogue is delivered in a long shot of them walking in Megan's car. The water's in the background.
It's all ADR,
It's either an ADR and a dub or an editing snafu. But like, if it's not, this is really poorly conceived framing, considering this character is talking about her hopes and visions and what defines her drives going forward. For her to be like the back of her head in the distance, that's insane.
Well, and then we get the shot of Isabella, like we actually see her face, and she goes, oh, school's never really been my thing. It's like, okay.
I'm sorry, finish the life. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Go full Maya Saint Germain, if you please.
Mm-hmm. Got my degree on the streets.
Yeah. So winter 99, Megan comes downstairs and her mom is so happy for her daughter. And she's just like, you're the first Landry woman to go to college.
Obviously.
And she's like,
we know it's Christmas because there's a Christmas tree in the scene.
The only thing that I have on my bucket list for this season is for there to be a moment where the mom just pisses herself standing up and doesn't realize it right away. Because they're really setting her up to be a sad piece of shit.
Like the Star is Born type of moment.
Yeah, not to dig on all single moms, but like they are making her like the way people would dig on like that one scene of Toby's mom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, then we notice that there's some like envelopes and it's like past due billing statement. It's like, oh no.
Yeah. So Megan's like, you know, just so you know, I'll still be working while I'm in college. And the mom's like, nah, let me be the adult for a change. And it's like, when did you start?
Well, and you would think there'd be, less money needed if the daughter's gone off to college. I presume the mother's not paying for college. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if it's full ride. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whereas I still have to marvel at how bad Original Sin was, where they would come into the situation. They would add, what if the mom was also on heroin or whatever? But the mom leaves.
Shit, that show was so bad.
She's forgotten to take her paper bag lunch at the daughter's pack, which is huge.
It's a big lunch. By the way, I liked how you keep saying Original Sin. Like we've dropped the PLL, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't eat in during that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Am I doing something wrong? I don't think so.
You are not. No.
They did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So summer 99, the girls are like walking through town.
They've just this dialogue. Somewhere. I'm really excited to be in one place for a change. Really explore it. Like, great. I mean, I would be annoyed with this person, but I feel like they could have like, it's a little too subtle. Like they could have just bumped it up a little more, you know?
Well, like I need to hear that this is all an act. Mm-hmm. That she's grifting them in some fashion. I really need to hear that. But yeah,
we do see a license later that's of a different name. So
it's what a blatant like name drop to use though for this shit. Like what a ripoff of season one. But yeah, Megan says that, you know, you can pretty much see this whole town in one day. Her friend Luke's dad owns most of the businesses. So if you're not working for him, you're fucked unless you just want to wait tables, which is why everyone tries to get out. This is like the shot where we actually have some background, which I was kind of surprised. Mm-hmm. We see the banner at the intersection for the Ocean Bloom Festival, July 16th through July 25th, which is longer than 3 days with the bioluminescence, but whatever.
Like 2 weekends, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So where would, you know, Megan go after college? She's asked to Silicon Valley to work for either Apple, Yahoo, or a startup, man.
Okay, first of all. You knew I was going to have a problem with this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to work for Yahoo?
In 1999,
Yahoo!
Apple has put out the new iMac, like the Bondi blue one. So like they're not completely dead in the water, but like if she wanted to work for Apple, they should have like shown her using a Mac, because like nobody wanted to work for Apple then, really. Like that was not a big Silicon Valley company. She would have wanted to work for like Intel or Microsoft. I mean, really, like Washington, Microsoft, like that would have been the obvious thing, you know?
Right. Or she says startup. Which is Silicon Valley, but it's also like, didn't Amazon come out of Seattle?
Amazon Seattle too. Yeah. I mean, you know, Silicon Valley obviously exists and had a lot of startup things. I mean, she'd be in for a rude awakening. Actually, no, she'd probably still be in college when like the .com bubble burst. But yeah, the Apple thing, I was like, that's written by somebody in 2022.
Well, my question is, could you be elite hacksaw? I know my lingo from the time. Mm-hmm. Could you have been elite hacksaw on one of those Macs at the time?
I mean, in theory.
Or would you have to like, have a PC?
It would have been very unlikely. You know, like you would have been a Mac person to be interested in working for Apple. It wouldn't just be like, oh yeah, there's a bunch of different companies and one of them is Apple.
Like, I would have been okay though if they threw in a line about how, like, you know, whatever age she was when she built her first computer. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like a lot of computer nerds have to talk about when they built their first computer. So Megan tells her to keep her expectations low at this town. And Isabel's like, oh, I'm all about living in the now, which is kind of insufferable.
She somehow managed to like not... Like, it's like the performance doesn't totally match some of the content here, it seems like, you know? She just seems too normal to me. She doesn't. Isabella does not come off as like.
She also
trying
seems
to write her.
Happy and bubbly compared to the fucking dark cloud that's following Megan everywhere she goes. But yeah, Megan says that's horrible, and Isabella's like, "No, it's liberating. You should try it." So elsewhere, we see Luke getting out of the sheriff's car. It's unclear if she should ride along at first or if he's in trouble, but it turns out he's just in a ride along. The sheriff seems like a nice, laid back guy when Megan comes running up. I have three lines of dialogue here. Do you have them?
I probably do, but go for it.
All right, I'll be the sheriff. Hey, Megan, how's your summer going?
It's a little complicated.
Sounds intriguing, but I'm sure it's nothing you can't handle. What the fuck?
Bye-bye, I'll see you at the end of the episode.
He like might as well blow us a kiss as he drives off.
Sounds intriguing. What the fuck? But I'm sure it's nothing you can't handle. Looks pretty bad.
Oh, fucking A.
Shout out to this guy collecting the paycheck. I think he's my favorite character in the show.
My favorite character might be the Luke's brother.
Oh, that guy. I'm out on all the chambers. God, they suck.
They all suck, but he's like at least interesting, douchey. So the sheriff leaves and Luke assumes it's going well since Megan hasn't like thrown this girl into the lake yet. And she's like, what happened? Did you get like caught going to her shit or something? And she's just like, yes, I did. So Isabella comes up, meets Luke, who mentions that he's doing this high school educational thing with the police. He's like, since my dad taught me, so I'm going to be buying the cops off later anyways. I might as well get on a first name base with them. Which again, if Original Sin was here, we'd have the sheriff getting like a BJ from somebody.
Yes. God. That show was so bad. As time goes on, I'm just like, I can't believe people got paid to write that.
It's like they grabbed a CW show and they're like, how can we make this a Max show? So Lucas flirting with Isabella, I think, talking about how it's okay to have an occasional vice. And then Megan makes a dud comment about like, yeah, unless it involves having a Zodiac full of Zima.
On an empty stomach, yeah. Zima.
It's like they wrote the script. They weren't sure what time period to put it in. Mm-hmm. And then they did a pass and they're like, let's just airdrop a couple of just bad 90s references.
If Nepo Baby Luke here had turned to her and said, stop.
What's your sign?
After she said that, I would have been like, wait a minute, this show might be brilliant. But yeah.
What's your sign? Yeah.
Stop.
Or if that guy was like the sheriff. Mm-hmm. The Zima guy. So we find out, this is, man, we're really showing our age. We find out that every July there's a bioluminescence in the water for a few days, and the towns turn it a cool natural wonder into an opportunity to sell snow cones and glow sticks, which is what every town does.
Well, it's like, oh, how horrible.
Yeah, it's like how towns survive. Luke and Isabella are like fuck eyeing each other somewhat.
And Megan both... is watching this eye chatter and is concerned, you know.
Here's the thing, though. Luke and Isabella are the same kind of phony.
Yeah.
Let them go.
Yeah. Go off dead. To UW. Forget these people.
Yeah. So Summer, like, go off to UW and like be roommates with Jeanette Turner. Mm-hmm. Like, and let's just have that show.
Yeah. And then we just watch that show. And
yeah,
you know, maybe we'll check back on Luke and Isabella later, and maybe we won't.
If this show ended with like whatever the season shenanigans are over and Megan goes off to college and then she opens up the door and there's a cameo from Kia Aurelia as her roommate.
Her new roommate, yeah.
Fade to black. I'd be like, okay, maybe this show was great. Anyway, summer 2000, Megan's at the pharmacy picking up her mom's prescription. She overhears people behind her in line.
This is back in the year 2000. So she's probably picking up like just like handfuls of opiates right now. Like they're just giving them away.
Oh, if you could go back in time. Yeah, the people behind her in line are talking about how about a body was found in the lake. So this sets Megan off. She runs off. We see her.
If a body was found in the lake, would the police like put their sirens on and drive through town to get there?
Possibly.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Possibly. So we see Megan racing her car through the woods. She parks outside a cabin.
This says like full redirect to me. It's like, oh no, she needs to like, you know, go do something with that information that the cops are closing in and there's a body found. So she like runs to this place and it's like scrubbing blood off the floor and it's like,
well, there's some tweaks I would make here, but they do present their own problems. I would move this to after the first time we see this cabin in the present summer 99. But then of course you're going to be looking towards the Luke of it all and not the Isabella of it all.
Do you want to talk about the driver's license here?
The Pat Highsmith?
Mm-hmm. California driver's license for Pat Highsmith from Beverly Hills. Date of birth is 78 here instead of 82. So, like, could this be her true self? Is she actually, you know,
Patricia 20? Highsmith?
Well, other than that, but is Isabella actually like a 20-year-old is what I'm trying to say, or a 21-year-old?
I imagine it's mostly for drinking.
Yeah, that's most likely it. It would be more interesting if it wasn't, but... I feel like they're showing this in the pilot or the first episode of the season. So it's like, this probably isn't what we want it to be.
Well, the question is like, which Patricia Highsmith are we referencing here? Like her general kind of murky, fucked up vibe, which is cool, which is kind of hangover season one. Or are we doing like a Strangers on the Train thing where these two girls have to kill each other's person? Mm-hmm. Because that's cool too, but I don't think that show. This show.
I mean, something
that.
Where like she's a grifter and like the mom like was too dumb to like realize that she wasn't actually getting some diplomat's daughter. You know, I'll go live in this place free for a year.
Well, pre-internet though, how are you even hearing about, you know, like exchange student for sale or you know whatever? Inside the cabin, Megan's like scrubbing what looks like a blood stain like crazy. She's like a little bit paranoid. Breeze is blowing the door. Everything's like catching her attention.
One more note about the driver's license. Not an organ donor.
Just bitch. Saying. Yeah. Fucking bitch. After commercial, it's summer 99.
This is where I blacked out.
So I'll drive here.
You'll have to drive here.
With Luke's dad, who's doing deals, business, buy, sell. Hello, you old so-and-so. Megan's mom comes in and like she's run the numbers on the Northland project and it's a big swing. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, I'm sorry, you can't pay your own fucking bills. Why are you running numbers on anything?
You seem to be a normal professional business lady, but like you're also like a pill popper at home. I don't know what's going on here. Yeah.
Like, do you just walk out of work, get in your car and get like a case of the bloopies on your way home or whatever? But yeah, it's a big swing. It's risky. It's a high flyer.
Great.
But he's like, this generic deal will put this town on the map and bring in business year round business. So the mom mentions like,
I really want it to be like, we're trying to get a Walmart.
Yeah. The JCPenney's coming here because of me. Yeah. We got a Gap finally. The mom mentions how this Cold Stone is because of me.
Well, like the mom, this doesn't, on the one hand, it's like, okay, he's like a big upstanding member of the community. He wants to like to blow the town out or whatever. But like,
yeah.
Don't you own everything? Like, would you really want like more? I don't know. I guess it depends on what the deal is. Yeah. Like, do you want competition coming in?
Well, I think he wants to bring in more commerce to his business.
I guess. Yeah.
And whatever this deal is, theoretically, that would bring in more business, he's also got his finger in this pie. So business. This guy's got business growing out of his pores. But yeah.
The congressman's on line one.
There's so much fucking schmoozing later on. It's like Judge so and so wants to talk to you,
congressman, like the state congressman or something.
Yeah,
state assembly. Like, what are we talking here?
Yeah, Matt, you know, like a Matt Gaetz, the congressman you've got photos of with like the 17-year-olds. Yeah,
I mean, you know, he's a real jocular dude because he answers the phone and says, "Joe, buddy, still licking your wounds from the ass kicking I put on you last week?" And you're like, "Oh man, what a businessman."
Not so blacked out, are we?
Mm-hmm. I had the subtitles on here. I'm just
on the matters of Steve. Mm-hmm. But the mom mentions that Megan and Luke have been friends since they were little because there's a picture of them on this dude's desk. So
Megan and Luke have been friends since they were little. Wouldn't it be weird if they fucked?
Yeah. He has a weird reaction to that later. Yeah. So winter 99, the dad, Steve, is meeting the mom, Debbie, in some parking lot like by the water. The Northland investors are getting cold feet. They get on the topic of this dude's charm, Steve's charm. And she's like, most of the women in this town would ditch their husbands if you looked at them twice. And he does, I think, a pretty natural double take. Like, wait, what? Really? And she's like, yeah. And then they kiss. And it's,
so I guess this is like they've just been business colleagues until now.
Either sure. Basis woman could put her pants on the right way. What is that? Like, is this like a scene from a different show? This is like a scene from episode 5 or something that got mixed into the pilot. It makes no sense. So summer 99, Luke, Megan, Isabel are walking somewhere. Like the scene starts like a Simpsons gag with Luke saying, well, that was my long-winded story. Hope I didn't bore you too much.
Great. We meet some of her like high school friends here. The cool kids, I guess. These are different cool kids from the last cool kids we saw.
You mean the ones in the boat?
Yeah. These are like, right? Like, these aren't people.
I don't think they are, even though later we're going to hear about Freddy again, who was on the boat, but I don't believe he's present here. Unless Freddy is the one. Freddy might be here. Fucking I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, so we get Brent, who's just like, bonjour. Like
Parker, Kelly, and Amy.
And he's like, I'm just trying to make her feel at home, babe. I wish this whole show is about this dude. Brent has a cute Asian girl who's like hanging on him. And Isabella,
she's
like,
the one who came up and was like, this would have been better if she never came to town or something.
Is
like
she
that.
The one, or is it the girl next to the guy in the red shirt? Because that girl has a great, can you believe this is happening face at the end of the scene. Hmm. But yeah, so to placate her, Isabella says, cute shirt, very Gwen. And again, just sprinkling in those 90s references that are useless.
Mm-hmm.
So then the guy who may or may not be Freddy says, how do you say you're hot in your language? To which she says, do you mean English or do you want me to translate to whatever language you speak? And everyone's like, ooh, burn. This could have been in a 90s movie. Like that little exchange.
There's also Jeff, the guy with the video camera who films everything on like old DV, like video.
Well, Jeff is like, do you remember how season 1 also had a black guy with a video camera? Reporting for duty. He's got a cool flat top, though.
That is a totally bitchin' flat top, yeah.
Those but yeah, Isabella. Back. Isabella's just like, oh, cool, are you making a documentary? And he's just like, more like cinema verite.
Then we cut to, it's winter they're in like a cabin here, and it's the whole like throw somebody against the wall, they're making out. It's Megan and Luke here. They're getting hot and heavy. So obviously something has changed from summer '99 because they're getting it on now.
There is nothing
sucking and fucking.
There is nothing like dominatingly sexy about Luke. Like, I feel like Megan could bench him.
He's very scrawny. I mean, I don't know.
He's a petite lad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in high school, sometimes guys like that clean up, you know, rather than like the big jocks. But yeah, he's rich, so he's got that going for him.
When your rich dad starts giving you the roids.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's like, as they're about to like insert, he's just like, it sucks that we're going to like different colleges. And she's like, we'll be an hour apart. We'll see each other each weekend. And he's perpetually horny. So he says, I don't know if I'll be able to wait that long.
And then bow, gunshot. What was that? They run outside, clothed again. Really, she is. He's got like the unbuttoned shirt on. And there's just like, oh man, it's that freak. He's such a freak. And she says, that freak was employee number 12 at Apple, which again, I'm just like, okay, man. Like, you would know.
So fake Steve Wozniak here.
Mm-hmm. And he's just like, it's just some dude, middle-aged guy, who's like firing his gun at what? We don't know. Just like, he's up on a hill firing it like into the sky. He's firing it outward, I guess. Not straight up or anything. But it's like, what are you shooting at? You know?
Birds?
Yeah. At night?
Yeah.
Bats?
Number one, owls? Yes, he's just some guy. Mm-hmm. But I aspire to be this rich and crazy.
Yeah, I think it says crows calling on the subtitle. So maybe he's shooting at crows at night.
Fuck you, crows! Fuck you!
Luke goes back inside, but like she stays out there, and like they make eye contact. She kind of like glares at him, and then he walks away. Well, and you're like, okay.
Something that may or may not actually be an issue, I would presume, in the middle portions of the show, but like Luke mentions that he heard this guy, this freak, talking about the world ending on Y2K at the hardware store. So presumably this guy is there, like Teotwaki, like the whole Teotwaki thing or whatever. Summer 2000, Megan's trapped behind a long line of cars by the water. An ambulance comes past. So she just decides to leave her car and gets out and goes like running after it. Because she just, I don't know, smells a dead body.
Sure, yeah.
Then winter 99 at Steve's party. Debbie shows up in a new dress and kisses Steve. Like, how'd you pay for this, Debbie?
They got together in that last scene, seemingly. Yeah. That was like the first time they like got together. And now they're at like this dinner party where she's dressed all nice. It's been what, like a couple days at most?
We have no idea. You would think we'd be reined in to like a 2 week period with the winter break, presumably. But
it seems like they're like very much together, which granted they worked together before, so maybe it wouldn't be that big of a transition. But yeah, I don't know. It seems like a longer time has passed.
But yeah, why wouldn't you start a sexual relationship with the woman in your office? Mm-hmm. That can't have a problem. Especially the woman who's got a lot of personal problems. Mm-hmm. Well, she's not an intern, so it's good.
Wayne Bright and some investors from Northland are coming. Okay.
This is apparently the usual holiday party that Steve does, but it's a little bigger this time because the Northland investors are coming. So they look over and they see like Megan and Luke together outside, and the mom's like, oh, and that's like, it's puppy love. They're a little too young to get tied down because I'm the killer. Get it?
He's going to go have a chat with his kid and say, get what you need and then broom her.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, the teens, Jeff is there to shoot some video. I just feel like Jeff's going to be underutilized other than like his video.
Just stuck like walking around with the video camera, basically.
Although there is a pretty funny thing because Isabella shows up to say something about like how the bartender is like dumb and he's making drinks for everyone and blah, 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 like for teenagers. And Luke says something that's supposed to be cute and he's like kissing Megan. And my boy Jeff just walks off because this is too boring to film.
He's just like, I'm out of here. Let's go see what's going on over here.
I'm not a fucking coat rack.
Yeah, there's a line where she says that, like, Isabella goes off to like flirt with the bartender some more and get more drinks, and Megan says she's pretty irresistible when she wants something.
Yeah, Megan says that, not Luke, but Megan says that. Summer 99,
and then Luke says, sounds like someone else I know, and they kiss. Yeah.
And Jeff just rolls his eyes and films elsewhere. He's like, I'd rather.
This whole scene, by the way, is supposed to be the winter. It's like very obviously like a windy, like summer day.
You're not outside, especially since, spoiler, they're going to show a movie in the most obnoxious way possible. I'm not going to stand by a pool to watch a fucking movie. Are you insane? Especially like they're in the middle of the winter in the Pacific Northwest. That's psycho shit. So no one's wearing a coat.
Yeah. Cut back to summer 99. We get to see this mythical ocean bloom here, which looks like they dumped a lot of paint on the edge of the lake. And it's a great line from Isabel saying, wow, that doesn't even look real. And it's like, no shit, Isabel. No shit.
I don't even know if it's like practically paint. I feel like it's like
no,
it's
there's something like CG-ish about it because like later they like kick water at each other and it just looks so fake.
It looks like Scooby-Doo. The cartoon had better effects than this. But yeah, Isabel assumed that Meg and Luke were dating. Finds out that they're not. The other
practically teens, my brother, known him my whole life. Yada yada yada.
The other teens they join up with are passing around. I think this is Jaeger. Ugh.
Yeah, I think it might be. Also, Isabella mentioned she's like, oh, I thought there was a vibe or something like that, which like we were not saying that in 1999.
Nope. You could have used a different word than vibe. Yeah, Isabella finds out that Megan's sober. So Luke says he's tried to corrupt her many times. She's a control freak. Megan points out that his drunk ass likes having a DD. And also Jägermeister's fucking disgusting.
And again, they all kind of make fun of Megan for being like the straight edge one. There's like a blonde chick who's kind of like the third, like extra like teen girl on the side. She makes weird, funny faces. So I'm going to keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I should be clear. I don't know if she's intending to make the funny faces. I think it's just her face. So let's just keep an eye on that.
Okay. She's the, what's her name? The Roxanne Stathos of this this cast.
Yes.
The Winter 99 party, Luke's with his dad and some principal meeting her, and the principal mentions that Luke is going to the same college as his dad, Branson, which has a great business program. And Luke says
Branson.
The Chambers
what a name for a college. Going to Branson.
It doesn't seem like is this supposed to be like a West Coast school? It doesn't seem like a West Coast school name. But like Luke's like with some weight, says, oh, the Chambers way. It's clear there's tension between him and his dad because his dad's also the killer. So Debbie shows up to lead Steve away because some judge wants to say hi.
Judge Fallon.
Yeah, so it's just Luke and Megan now, and Luke's just like, ugh, every time I hear business program, I want to eat a gun.
Okay, note that. I think Luke kills himself.
Yeah, I can see it.
I think after what happens here at the end of this episode, I think he's so distraught that he kills himself.
I would say it'd be great if he confronts his dad, and his dad's like, business program, business program, business program. And Luke's just like, So she says that she'll support him if he wants to tell his dad how he really feels. And he mentions casually that he loves her. And she's stunned because it's the first time. And unlike other TV shows, she doesn't say thank you. No. She says she loves him too.
Yeah, it's a little like, oh, did he just say that? And she kind of pauses and he turns around. And he's kind of like, oh, I guess I just said that. And she says, I love you too.
Would matter more to us if we knew who the fuck these characters were.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that, it's not cute to us now because I don't know these characters.
So Isabella runs up and she's like, Mike the bartender might be the dumbest person I ever met, including Freddie. Dang. Sorry, Freddie.
Yeah, sorry, Freddie. We hardly knew you.
And Megan asks, is he hot enough that you don't care? And she goes, I think so, yeah. And he's like, you girls are ice cold. Oh, come on. Guys are just as bad. And they're like arm in arm walking away like, oh, these two seem like such good friends. I wonder if anything shall come between them.
You know, I feel like the two actors playing Megan and Isabella, you know, they're working with not great material. Mm-hmm. You add in Luke, it just feels extra inauthentic.
It's tough sledding. Yeah.
Yeah. Summer 99. Megan and Luke talk with Isabella, the rest of the teens at the bioluminescent thing. He tells her Isabella's great.
She's like pouring herself some seltzer or something.
Yeah. Some LaCroix before it was LaCroix. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She doesn't agree. She says that she's just not the, he's like, you're not the best at letting people in. So she says that she doesn't like see her and Isabella ever being friends. So cut to Winter 99 at this party. The teens are all watching Megan and Isabella dancing and singing along to La Vida Loca. Luke is very into this site.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is what he's all about.
This is a weird fantasy for him, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cut to back to summer 99.
Is this this they're dancing here to Ricky Martin. This is like the weird holiday party that like his parents and all these fucking old ass business people are at, right?
Yeah.
And like these kids are like getting down. I don't know. It's a weird vibe.
Well, it's like
as one would say in 1999.
It's the kind of party where like the adults are inside because presumably it's fucking freezing outside and the teens have kind of a corner outside. It's like, is this a normal house or is this like a McMansion? It seems when you see the front of it, like it's a McMansion.
Mm-hmm.
So back summer 99, Megan and Isabella are sit together. They're watching the glowing water. Isabella asks if she can hook up with Luke if Megan's not interested.
Did Megan we say says, hook sure. up in 1999 also?
Yeah, I think we did.
I feel like it didn't have quite the same connotation though.
Well, I think it had that same confusing connotation because for some people it means, you know, like DTF, and some people it means just like getting together.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Isabella is going to be sad about this. She watches Luke go over to Megan and she looks sad, and the sad piano score tells us that she's sad.
It's like, and no, then, you should totally go get with him. I don't care at all.
Yeah. She watches at one point as this, I think it's Freddie, splashes them.
This is the part that looks super fake. Yeah, like it's like weirdly green screened or something.
And she watches Isabella's like wiping her wet hands on like Luke's shirt around his stomach, which is
Luke. I'm pretty sure she's taller than Luke, by the way. Like,
who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
The Winter 99 party, Megan watches Luke and Isabella talk in the distance at one point and they're like laughing. But this clear in this moment in 99, she suspects nothing and she's so happy. This is her boyfriend, her best friend. Then summer 2000.
This whole sequence here, I feel like they're not doing Sadie, what's her name, any favors here, because it's clear that they've told her act really emotional, but we're like the audience won't know why you're being emotional, and so she's like just doing the really hard, like just making a lot of faces and like, oh my god, oh my god, and it's just like this constant close up. It's like you're not helping out your actor here at all.
No, but especially with like the summer 2000 look.
Mm-hmm.
They've got her in like the, for her, like the dark eyeshadow is not adding to her emoting ability. But yeah, she's like watching this crime scene in the waterfront, getting freaked out. Apparently something happened on some boat at the end of the dock.
This is what I would like to know, because there's a shot later where it's like cops are rolling crime scene tape in front of the dock here. Why? Like, this isn't the crime scene. The crime scene is seemingly somewhere out in the water where they found the body. I don't know. I thought it was
I don't know. It's confusing. Did they find the body in the water or they find the body in the boat?
Well, no, it's the sheriff's boat that they're taking the body off of. Yeah.
Well, see, it's very confusing because I did not notice when I was watching this that it's the sheriff's boat. So it's hard to read what I'm supposed to mentally file away here.
I'm just like, why are you taping off the dock like it's a crime scene? Seemingly, the crime scene was out in the lake somewhere.
Maybe just to keep people the fuck back while they like put the thing in an ambulance or whatever. Yeah. So the paramedics have like put the body wrapped up. They're like carrying it off.
It's in a body bag. Can't see who it is.
Yeah, the sheriff's just like, hey, everyone, I'm still here. I'm in this episode still. Megan's like breathing heavy, freaking out. I think they're going to like internalize like a panic attack, or that's what we're supposed to meant to feel through part of it. Like, especially at the end scene. I don't know. Summer 99, at the end of the night, Megan's driving her and Isabella back to the house, heading to they park back at the house. Megan's going to go inside. Isabella's going to the Airstream, and Megan apologizes for going through Isabella's shit earlier.
That wasn't cool. Yeah. Good night. And then she says good night. It's like, okay. It's like at the end of this episode, they're still not friends. And so it's seemingly going to take a while for them to like become friends in summer 99, like to get to where we are in winter 99.
Yeah. So winter 99, Steve cuts the music and addresses the entire party. They have this big screen set up on the other side of the pool.
This is the worst like Christmas speech I've ever heard. Earlier in the episode, she's like, use that Steve Chambers charm or whatever. And it's like, what charm? This guy has like negative charisma.
There's like so many. See, what they should have done a la the first season is taken some actor who played a teenager in the 90s and cast him.
Yeah.
As the dad. Like, why isn't this Jason Priestley?
Yeah, really. Oh, it's speech here. When my late wife, Jane, and I, just starting off with the late wife, first started these parties, our boys, Brent and Luke, were babies. And there's like an audible, like, the first year it was just a handful of close friends. Like, it's so awkward and weird, which I guess it's supposed to be. But like, you've told us in the past that like this guy is supposed to be charming and like the big man in town.
Maybe this is the charm. He just seems so folksy and pathetic. People are like, fuck, let me write you a check for $100 million.
There's way too many ums in this speech.
So Brent's now at Branson, we hear. Luke will be joining. They're going there in the fall. And their tradition of these parties, they always show a Christmas movie. They're going to show Jane's favorite. We don't hear what it is.
Well, it's just like, you know, couldn't be more excited to share this evening with you. Like, it's like, that's how he's delivering it. It's like, you clearly could be more excited.
Which is so funny, you're because on Valium. You had like Nepo Baby Harley Quinn Smith in the first season. Mm-hmm. And it was like, how many times did they name drop a Kevin Smith thing? But it's like, we don't even know what Jane's favorite Christmas movie was here.
No, because they couldn't clear the rights.
Who was going to stand by a pool for 2 hours watching a fucking movie? Well,
they've erected a projector screen on like the other side of the pool, like the far side. And so everyone's just going to like stand around and stare across the pool at this. There's no chairs or anything. Yeah.
This is fucking insane. But we see that it's not a Christmas movie. It's a sex tape that someone's hacked into.
This is kiddie porn, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. This is illegal. Yeah, mm-hmm. These are minors. It's a sex tape of Luke and Isabella. We'll find out.
Somebody says that's Isabella. We can't really see that it's her.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like we definitely see Luke. We see Luke's like head rise up on his like scrawny body as he's like plowing away at whoever this is.
Yeah.
And so,
like, just going in and out, we see Bush, we see Rod, we just see it like the train going to the tunnel. Yeah.
It's full, like, it's like 30 seconds from when this thing starts playing to when somebody finally runs over to like stop the tape.
Well, the dad's like, Luke, turn it off, Luke, turn it off. So Luke runs over and he ejects the VHS tape that this is playing on.
And then Megan runs up to him and she's heartbroken. She grabs the tape, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's glowering at him and then she looks back and she's glowering at like Isabella, but there's also all of these people watching her. And then this chick just like leans in from behind Isabella. And
this
whispers,
is the one you're talking about and who's next to red shirt guy. Yeah.
Some best friend you are.
Burn. Like that's your reaction of all possible reactions.
This chick is like, finally, my fucking moment.
And so obviously Megan is heartbroken. She storms out the door. I like how like the doorman opens the door for her to storm out.
Okay. This is not the front of a normal house. This is like the front of a furniture store. This thing is huge. It's a huge overhang where you could pull your car up and drop people off.
Maybe it's like a local country club. That would make a little bit more sense. You know, it's like a clubhouse or something like that. So anyways, Isabella and Luke chase her out and Isabella tries to stop her and she's like, let go of me. And she just looks completely heartbroken and everyone just looks sad and Megan runs off on her own. And
yeah, Luke doesn't say anything. Isabella
is like in tears. She looks back at Luke and Luke just looks guilty. I'm gonna predict that this was like them, this is a tape of them hooking up like very early in the 99 timeline before he got together with Megan. And so it's gonna be like, ooh, it wasn't what we thought, you know, they weren't together, but it's still embarrassing, or you know.
Well, he didn't tell her, so
sure.
It's still an infraction, yeah. Anyway, so summer 2000. Megan runs up even closer as they're like putting up the crime tape scene or crime scene tape as they're, you know, the yellow tape. Mm-hmm. And she sees the paramedics bringing the body out. She also noticed that employee number 12 is there. He's watching this as well.
Yeah, he's watching. And he like looks at her too, it almost like in a conspiratorial way. Like,
so I suspect that we're going to get an episode or two where we think that he's like a red herring guy. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the dad. But Steve and Brent come up. The sheriff tries to stop them.
The dad's acting here when he storms past the sheriff and the crime scene tape to unzip the body bag to see who it is, and he says it's Luke almost inaudibly. He goes, he's like, oh, let me see this. Zip, it's Luke.
Yeah,
and like cut away, like it's cut ADR. Back, it's Luke.
Yeah,
like that. Like it's like the most like bland, nothing. Like wow, like that's the take you went with, huh?
Part of this episode feels like they filmed something different and then had to kind of fashion it.
Also, weirdly, we do not see the body.
No.
And it's like, I literally had to rewind this when I was first watching. I'm like, did he say it was Luke? Because he says it so softly. He goes, it's Luke.
What if episode two starts up a close up on the slab and like one eyeball is like looking this way and his tongue is hanging out?
He's
like
definitely going
to
have
a fish has eaten his face.
I'm going to predict gunshot wound to the head.
Oh, okay. Like it ate a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Business program.
It's like the way the day is like, it's Luke. And he just kind of stands there. I guess we're going for like a destroyed, like understated response.
Is that my daughter in there?
Yeah.
Is that Luke in there? Yeah. It's also, Luke. Debbie is there like rubbing Brent's arms.
But he pushes her away.
But yeah, because he's, you know, he's, is that my son in that bag? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it seems body language wise, like Debbie is
still part of the package.
In a family-ish unit with them. Even though we just saw her at some point earlier. Yeah, in this time period on the couch, like maybe wearing a diaper for all we know.
And then I don't know if this stood out to you. They completely steal a shot from the pilot of Pretty Little Liars here.
Yep.
Where it's like a side profile shot of Megan watching this. And then someone steps up next to her, just like in the PLL pilot when Hannah steps in with Spencer there at the end.
Yeah.
Or is it Emily? I can't remember. I think it's Spencer. Yeah.
I think it's Spencer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It would have to be Spencer because Emily's not real. Mm-hmm. Isabella says we have to get our story straight, and Megan nods her head.
Well, it's like, oh, she's like, alive. We thought she was dead, but it was the really boring Nepo baby who's dead.
Yeah, and then she's like breathing hard. There's like this weird sound effect, and then it kind of ends with this like almost like a walkie-talkie call ending thing.
This, if any show needed to end with the classic PLL pull out and up at the scene, it needed to be this, and not like this close up on Megan's face. Like they're asking a lot from this actress and not really doing her any favors.
They sure are.
The summer 2000 Isabella, she's got like ponytails. She seems much more like dressed down from like what we briefly see of her. Like definitely not as like vibrant as she was in summer 99.
Not full hacker. Mm-hmm. Like ravaged, but yeah. Not thrilling stuff.
No, not particularly.
I feel like what propels me forward is I'm not curious where is the show going to go in like a good way. Like, ooh, I'm on the edge of my seat. This show is intriguing. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just kind of curious, like as an exercise and a thriller and bad writing and execution. But like, I'm also not dreading it like I was with every instance of Original Sin.
Maybe because it's not trying to draft off of, you know, PLL's popularity.
But also, Original Sin, even if you took off those three words, Pretty Little Liars, from the colon, that's a bad show.
Yeah, that was like actively bad, whereas this is just sort of like, well, I guess he didn't have much money and the scripts weren't great, you know?
I mean, I know anyone who's seen it in years, but Riverdale just seems like it's, you know, so insane and surreal. That there's like a, I don't know, like a deranged fun to watching that show, I imagine. Whereas Original Sin didn't have that at all. I just want to point out that the second to last Tia Napolitano post on her Instagram feed is her WGA West picket sign that says, "Not my kind of cruel summer."
Nice.
Yeah.
So that was the end of S2E1. The next one is titled Ride or Die. We're still doing that.
Apparently.
So we will probably be doing these weekly, I think. So obviously the show is going to be done with the season long before we get there. But you know what? We can wait. We can all wait.
Yeah. And we have not, I've not seen episode 2. I have not watched ahead.
Don't plan to. So, you know, I'm not like on the subreddit, like theorizing or anything. I'm not going to be spoiled or anything like that. So you're going to get our unvarnished, you know, reactions.
But just speaking of the last that we mentioned a few times, the last TV show we podcasted about, you got some information about Original Sin, what was coming up on it, because there were some pretty egregiously insensitive topics. I haven't gotten that impression from this show.
No, I honestly haven't seen, other than people tweeting at us and saying, "Are you going to do Cruel Summer?" I have not seen anyone talking about Cruel Summer on Twitter at all.
It doesn't seem like this show is even going to broach the issues, like like kind of walk that razor's edge like the first season did.
I guess we'll see. I mean, to me, the hook in the first season, it wasn't just like, oh, someone died, who did it, you know? It was like, oh, like this girl got kidnapped, then she got freed and she blamed this other girl, you know? And it's like a weird single white female thing, like, ooh, intriguing, you know? Whereas here it's like, that's how he died, like I don't really care, you know? I'm like, I can't wait to you know, like it just seems like it's going to be a standard thing. We're going to have a few red herrings, and then the actual explanation is going to be like, so and so thought they killed him, but he actually killed himself, or you know.
Well, like, what was the Freeform brief? Like, just like we needed to be tamer than season one.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. We don't. If that's the case.
Well, like, I wonder. Like, I mean, are we going to have anything where there's like a here's a number you can call for help, you know, at the end of an episode.
Yeah.
Whatever, folks.
Well, anyways, if you'd like to support the pod, you can rate and review us on iTunes. If we have a guest on later for the finale, perhaps, maybe be a little nicer to her on your iTunes reviews. I don't know why y'all had to drag Caitlin like that. But yeah, thanks for anyone who rated or reviewed us. If you'd like to support us even more, you can go to mynameistrouble.com and check out the books that we have written, 3 books, all in a mystery series about a girl detective named Trouble. If you like mysteries, I'm going to hope that what we've written is better than this episode so far, you know, but if you're into like fun, pulpy teen murder mystery, definitely go check out My Name is Trouble, Trouble Always Finds Me, and Trouble Takes a Holiday. That third book just came out last fall. Working on the fourth one right now. Anything to add before we close out, Marco?
No, it's been a more of a mediocre summer so far. We'll see how...
Not cruel enough yet.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Maybe the cruelness is going to come from us. We'll see.
All right.
All right, bye.
Check you out next week. Bye.